live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 216. I'm your host, Brandon Reif. I'll be joined, as always, by my main man, Jonathan Birdsong, here momentarily. Great show this evening planned. We've got NBA offseason news. The new season's getting ready to start. The draft is over. We've got NBA free agency coming shortly. We've got the NFL coming up. We've got Major League Baseball here in the doldrums of summer now. So all that's going on in Major League Baseball, we'll get into that. Our man, Jonathan Burson. JB, how are you?
What's going on, Brandon Reif? What's going on, Crossroads listening audience, man? I know you probably in the middle of giving a rundown. Like, man, what a great weekend we've already had getting through some of the NBA draft and going into free agency, man. But please don't let me interrupt. If you're giving us the rundown, man, give us the rest of the tonight's rundown of tonight's show.
Yep, like I said, news notes, NBA and Pacers. We've got baseball going on. We also have a interview today with Kevin Williams, PBA professional bowler. Will join the show here at the next bottom of the hour. Will be joining us, so we'll have some talk with that and more. JB, I guess we'll dive in. NBA draft recap. We look at the recap. Pacers, Mathurin, Nembhard, and Kendall Brown, the three picks for the Indiana Pacers. Yes, you got some good picks there going into free agency.
Yeah, not like the blue blood schools, you know what I'm saying, can play for you. Can automatically guarantee that the players that you have selected are going to be, you know what I'm saying, long tenured NBA players for you, but kind of got to like who the Pacers drafted and from the schools it came from. A lot of folks believe that, I'll be the first one to say it. I think the Pacers definitely got more athletic at the wing position, which is what they needed. And though they didn't trade Malcolm Brogdon, that's probably something that's probably going to happen closer to As I said, I think it's going to happen close to as we get towards training camp. I know what they said. They're not actually trading Brogdon or Miles Turner. I know it's kind of crazy now going into the draft, but that was not the case. But here's what I will say. I think there's more changes that potentially are coming, and that's for darn sure. But, like, you have to like what the Pacers addressed as far as the draft is concerned. And also know that Kevin Pritchard, I know, you know what I'm saying, even on this show, we give him a hard time for, like, who he's brought into the fold, but he hasn't made a bad trade yet, right? So I know there's people calling for Brogdon services. We know there's people calling for Miles Turner as well. So, but you don't want to get taken advantage of. So I think they're going to be patient. They're going to be, you know what I'm saying, they're going to be cautious and listen to offers. And but like I said, as far as, like, the young interjection of what they brought into the Pacers organization, man, you have to like it. What it looks like on the court, you know what I'm saying? You got to, at some point, it's going to be a learning curve. We'll probably get a lot of highlights during the summer league or whatnot, but you have to like at least what they put together in this youth movement in the offseason.
Yeah, absolutely. Pacers have 1,000 guards on this roster right now, so they got to be making some trades, or at least unloading some people. I just saw they picked up the option for Brissett for him to come back next year. Like you said, you still got Brock on this team. You still got Miles Turner.
Well, Brandon, think about it. It's not out of the possibility some of these guys are going to get G League assignments. You know what I'm saying? So you kind of keep that in mind. You know what I'm saying? That some, you know what I mean, our guys, the guys that we selected, I'll be playing for the Mad Ants potentially. It depends upon if anybody gets hurt or whatnot. We're hoping that doesn't happen. They might get caught up and get acclimated into the primary roster. But, you know, I think Buddy Hield won't be a Pacer come February. And I think Malcolm Brogdon will be a Pacer come sooner than Patrick Curry, to be honest with you.
Okay. We'll see with that. It's question is, with Brogdon, you know, what kind of – and I guess, John, you look at it free agency-wise, there's not really great talent out there. This year's free agency class isn't the greatest there. And, you know, this is a rebuild, so this will be another struggling year next year to kind of build this organization. And I heard, John, and you can sit there and shake your head, but I heard another couple people say that it's time to cut bait on Lance Stephenson. Keep Lance Stephenson, bringing back Lance Stephenson. All that does, you're in the middle of a rebuild. All it does is cut into minutes for players that I would like to be having out there to get those minutes, to get those building minutes. That's what I would like to see out there and then not have to worry about bringing back a Lance. That's all over with now. I can move on from it.
Yeah, that's going to be a hard decision. Lance Stephenson being a fan favorite of how many eras of Pacer teams, right? It's a log. If they keep it, and I don't know how they do it. If they keep Lance, there's really a log jam at the guard spot, at point guard and at shooting guard. If Lance, and you know, they can go three guard offense. You know, so we've seen that before. But if Lance is your point guard, you know, then you got issues. It's not pretty, right? So I don't know. I don't know. But Brandon, I think you're probably leads to that he's not here. But as a you know, as somebody, you know, saying who cheers for the Pacers, like, man, you hope he, you know, saying if it's not here, wherever he goes, you hope he's just as successful as he was in the Pacers uniform.
Looking around the league, John, Kyrie Irving, where do you go with this if you're looking from Brooklyn?
He's opted in. Well, doesn't that tell you, Brandon, doesn't that tell you that the market really wasn't what Kyrie and his representation thought it was? Like, you know, none of these guys, as much as Kyrie and anybody else, and we'll get to who, James Harden here in a second, right? Like, these guys still want to play. They want to get paid, right? So, like, there was a way for him to opt out of his deal and go play for the Lakers, but then he'd be playing for like $7 million, man, instead of $37 million, which is what he signed. He opted back in for. He opted back in for $36.7 million, right? There's not enough championships or bragging rights that would make you cut for $30 million to go play for the Lakers just because you think that would be a better fit for your skill set and you could have this happy reunion with LeBron. That's not possible, right? So he opted in. He's still probably looking for a three or four season deal. You know what I mean? Over the course of over four years, it would probably pay him upwards of $47 million a year, right? That's what he's looking for. So this year, Brandon, he's got to play. He has to play. He has to show up for work. Otherwise, teams are going to be even more apprehensive next year, and they're not willing to give him that he'd be looking at, you know, 1 year deals instead of like multi year deals. You know what I mean? So if Kyrie can do that, I mean, I don't know what the number is. You know what I mean? I would, if it was my team, dude. If you don't play 55 games, man, like, why would you even think about 50, out of 82 games? That's bare minimum. If you're not going to play all 82, I mean, if you're not going to play at least, you know what I'm saying, three-fourths of the games, dude. Like, dude, why would we, can, you know, max level talent or not, why would we continue to pay you? You know what I'm saying? Or have you around. So the Nets, quote-unquote, Dodge Day, the Kevin Durant going to pull that, you know, lever about getting traded out because Kyrie's going to stay now. So they have to, like, Brandon, I already said it, dude. Like, they put together this window of opportunity for themselves, player power movement, and more power to them. But they, like, you know what I'm saying, you when you do the AAU style of basketball, the pressure is on you to win. And right now the Brooklyn Nets are no closer to winning than you or I are close to winning an NBA championship. So, so he's back. So, you know what I'm saying, at least you have that going for you. But you got to get the production back on the floor. So now that's going to be the challenge.
Do organization, can you trust going after a Kyrie that maybe plays half the season to give him all that money as another organization?
Would another organization, are you asking, would another organization trade in February if it's not going, if it's not going right for the Brooklyn Nets and it's like they're looking like a seventh or eighth or ninth seed, or my goodness, back into the play-in scenario, could a team want to trade for Kyrie? I think a team does. I think sometimes NBA teams will get desperate enough. It'll be a playoff team, which would be scary, considering what they're going to move. It's not going to be some of his other places that he stopped by. It's not going to be Cleveland. It's not going to be Boston. Let's just be honest. They've already seen enough. But would another team pick up his contract for the rest of the half of the year in hopes of potentially having Kyrie to put them over the hump? Oh yeah, absolutely. That can for sure happen.
Are we about to see the most honorable and ethical tank job that the NBA has ever put on by the San Antonio Spurs?
Man, you are so hard on the Spurs, man.
I'm not hard on them. I mean, they're clearly going to tank mode.
What is it? I've never been to San Antonio. I've always been told when we had Coach Artis. That it was a. No, I'm not gonna say that. You better recant it. But
that's what Chuck said.
I know that's what Barkley says. But you ain't got to repeat it. I've always been told the River Rock is quite a beautiful place. You know what I'm saying, to live at, and you know what I mean. But it's like we get into like NBA purgatory where guys don't want to be there over the long haul of time. It might be also somewhat of the fact that Coach Popovich, you know what I'm saying, he's the one that runs the organization, both from a, I do believe, from a general manager standpoint and a coach standpoint, right? So yeah, man, you know, that trade kind of took me out of, like, nowhere. I was like, what, DeJounte Murray? I mean, I thought they were just kind of, like, waiting on another piece in San Antonio, to be honest with you. Like, it's hard, obviously, it's hard to, you know what I'm saying, attract top level free agents there for, you know what I'm saying, for the reasons I kind of mentioned. Some basketball guys think it's basketball purgatory. It's not necessarily Dallas, you know, so even though the championships have flown through San Antonio, guys just aren't necessarily running there, you know what I'm saying, when they have other options, when you have, like, you know what I'm saying, the California teams and the Florida teams to kind of flock to. So, like, nah, man, like, yeah, they had to, like, so if you're going to trade your star player, and that's what DeJounte Murray is, you better get, you know what I'm saying, protected on the back end. And, like, what did they trade for? They trade for, like, three first-rounders, something sick, and an expiring contract? Like, that's a hell of a deal. But, yes, next year and then the following couple years, man, they will be in tank mode for sure.
Yeah, and it might be, like I said, it's going to be the most ethical tank mode ever. Since 2016, and I sent you a text earlier. Let me bring it back up again here. Let's see here. Since 2016, when Tim Duncan retired, they've traded Kawhi Leonard. Ginobili's retired. They lost Tony Parker in free agency. They cut LaMarcus Aldridge. They've traded DeMar DeRozan, and they've traded Devontae Murray. So, and you take it on Antonio, or you take on Gallinari. So that equals tank to me. And
right.
It's just weird you're tanking towards the end of Coach Pop's tenure, you would believe, right? You wouldn't think he had very many years left.
Right, right. So you think, I mean, so you put it out there in the air, Brandon, you think this is his last run as
a
coach? I don't think he ever goes away from basketball. I really don't. But you think this is his last year as a run as a coach?
Yep.
Okay. I mean, that's fair. You know, the guys he was in the trenches with are coaches their damn selves. You know what I mean?
May even be it right here this next season. That might be the last one. So he may not even get to a rebuild. It may just be this one right here, this next season.
This one right here. And then push up somebody from his family tree.
Yep.
Take over as head coach.
Hey, yeah. You've got to talk yourself a top three draft pick next year. Here you go. They take the dude from Italy or whatever he's from, France.
Who's going to be the top draft pick next year? Oh, somebody from Duke. Bet you bottom dollar.
I bet you. It's going to be that dude.
It might be. It might be. For San Antonio, you might be right, man, because, like, they might have to look at – I mean, I know it's crazy. They might have to look at a non – whoever the most elite non-American player is, because sometimes with the European fellas, they don't really care about living at certain somewhere as long as they can ball. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's not a big deal if it's there in Miami or L.A. So that'll be interesting to see.
John Wall gets his buyout from the Houston Rockets, and report is when free agency starts on Thursday, tomorrow night, he'll be joining the Clippers with Kawhi and PG.
So I'm gonna turn the camera the other way, man. What do you think about that, man? Because I remember a couple episodes ago, you had this thought in your mind because Paul George and Kawhi were so much in and out of the lineup, right, this year. You really didn't get to see the best version of the Clippers. They have good to borderline great role players, right? And they were right there knocking on the door. You don't think John Wall is just coming there not to muck it up, right? That's what you know what I'm saying? It's not necessarily something to put him over.
I think it gets them at a 6 seed and keeps them at that.
If Paul George and Kawhi Leonard are 100% healthy and play, let's say, 120 games between them, so that's, you know what I'm saying, 60 games.
Yeah.
You still think 100% Paul George and Kawhi Leonard only like six in the West, or?
Yeah, it probably puts them at 4.
Probably.
Let's think Golden State, they're ahead of them.
Right, sure.
Phoenix.
Phoenix ain't going nowhere, right?
Yeah, Phoenix can be up there. Phoenix will have some regression next year, for sure. Especially if they don't keep DeAndre Ayton here in free agency.
Right.
I think they're going to regress a little bit based off the wins they have.
Right.
And they just can't stay healthy, you know, and that's the big thing for them. Right. You got them.
Right.
Lakers, I think the Clippers are probably better than the Lakers. I think this puts them over it. Unless the Lakers can get another person, you know?
I just think John Wall got to stay 100% healthy himself. You know,
I mean, he said out a whole year. You got to think that's got to keep you healthy, right? Unless he was on the James Harden plan.
Man, I feel like this dude would trip out of bed and get a sprained ankle. So, John Wall, everybody remembers him being in Kentucky and him being the number one overall draft pick some years ago. Man, there was a lot of hype and expectation that kind of came with his abilities in the open court. I don't know if he's still that explosive open court player, but man, if they can get half of that, and a revitalized Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, I might like them in the West. I would put them at third. Because, like, we never know. The dust is going to settle, right, come Friday. Or, you know, so between third tomorrow and Friday when free agency really kicks off. And depending upon, you know what I'm saying, what other levers are happening, like Portland, right? Who knows? I kind of like the Clippers in the top three.
Okay. So, Suns. I said Suns there. I got the Suns over them. How about Memphis?
You know, are they mature enough yet? Are they really still mature?
No.
I mean, they got all the bodies. They got all the talk. They got the weapons. They don't necessarily have the poise just yet. So, will Memphis win a playoff series? Of course. But when you talk about that upper echelon, you know what I'm saying, Golden State team or somebody, who would have known? Knowing what you know of what the Phoenix Suns were during a regular season, do you think Memphis and them would have been a seven game series? I say yes, but I would kind of edge Phoenix in that if everything was 100%, everybody was healthy. I would still edge Phoenix, but you're right though. Memphis would still be there. They've got to keep their poise and keep their wits and their emotions about them. But
I think they
should be in the mix. They should be in the mix, for sure.
I think they're better than the Jazz team. The Jazz team's in a huge influx right now. We don't know what's going on with that.
I'm waiting for the next shoe to drop. They got a rookie coach off of the ball. Like, Danny Ainge is coming in and putting his thumb down, man. He picked one of the assistants off the Boston Celtics. Now he's the head coach. Like, man, Brandon, it's coming. Gobert is going to get traded. And it remains to be seen what happens with Donovan Mitchell, but I can't say that he stays that much longer either.
Let me ask you this. So we're sitting here talking about the Clippers. If the Dallas Mavericks add Rudy Gobert or if the Dallas Mavericks add Bradley Beal, does that put them over them, you think?
If they can get both of them, right? If they can get both of them, man. You know, I don't know if they have to add. I mean, okay, but if they can get both of them, one of them is not going to. If one of them should move the needle just a little bit for him. Rudy Gobert is still a defensive force in this league. Rebounds like a terror, blocks like a terror. You can even run some offense at his way. I'm not saying run offense through him. He's not going to get you a one-on-one bucket or anything like that. But lobs and, you know, get himself to the free throw line, you know what I'm saying, three or four times a night. Yeah, Rudy Gobert is a weapon in that regard. Man, you say if they pick the guard, if they go that route, like both of those guys are 40 points a game on you. You know, it's just kind of like what would Washington? What does that trade look like? What would they have to send back to Washington? For him, who's another team that's actually in flux right now, right? They're making trades yesterday. So like, what does that look like to get? I think Dallas goes after Gobert. I think that's the way they run. I don't know. I think our guy up in Washington, Bradley Beal, might be a little too expensive, especially when I think next year you got to show Luka Doncic the bag.
I don't think they're too sad. They're not going to keep Jalen Brunson. And I think the New York Knicks overpay for Jalen Brunson.
The Knicks overpaying for not based on the market, they're not overpaying for Jalen Brunson. But if they're telling the New York fan base that Jalen Brunson is coming there to be your 1B, then the New York Knicks are going to still suck even more next year. Like, he's 1B. Tell me if I'm right or wrong, Brandon. I mean, you've seen he runs. He kind of can sometimes run hot and cold.
I have him 1C in New York.
You have 1C?
I mean, he's behind Julius Randle and R.J. Barrett.
I mean, technically, Brandon, he might be better than – I mean, him and Julius Randle, like, they both had two good seasons, man. Now they both kind of cashed out. Mm-hmm. That's what's going to happen with Jalen Brunson.
He pissed off the fan base, so.
I didn't – but, Brandon, I thought he would have been gone already. You know what I mean? I was like, man, they got to be working the phones on that. Like, he's middle fingering the fans. He's becoming a, you know what I'm saying, New York Post every other week, every other day, like, comment. They're running with it. I would thought he'd been gone already. I want to make this be known. Like, they need some stability at point guard in New York. Jalen Brunson will bring that. It's just that you can't look at his skill set as a savior. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's not. He's gonna play hard. He's gonna buy into the system and the culture that they have in New York. Because I thought the coach was fired too, but that didn't happen either, which is good. I mean, that means the Knicks are stable in the front office. But yeah, you give him 1C, man. I give him a 2A, but. But again, man, he will bring some stability to the point guard position for the New York Knicks next year. If that's where he signs at.
Per a report from South Florida, Miami has zero intentions of trading Kyle Lowry for Kyrie Irving, per Florida Sports Buzz. The Heat has assured Lowry has no intentions of trading him to Brooklyn, as a source briefed on the situation.
Yeah, that don't mean he ain't getting traded. That's me. He's not getting traded for Kyrie Irving. I was wrong, Brandon.
Hey,
about
Mitchell, right?
What'd you say now, Brandon?
You trade him for Donovan Mitchell, though.
You could. You sure could. You come up with a package. I was wrong about Tyler Hero's skill set. I think you might get a little bit more production out of it if he doesn't. if he's on another team and he's, you know, saying looked at as being the primary guy, or even, cause I think even here, sometimes they kind of overlook him. They do depend upon him to be, you know, saying a quality guy come off. But he averaged like 20 points off the bench this year. And that's why he was the sixth man of the year. But I don't know. I think if they do resign him, it's probably a short term deal. But I wouldn't be surprised if Tyler Hill gets moved. But it won't be a move to bring back a bunch of draft picks. You know what I'm saying? Pat Riley is always in win now mode. So I think Tyler gets his money though. I think Tyler gets his money from Miami though.
I think he does too. Like maybe he got over that sophomore slump. We'll see. You guys, call real quick. Crossroads Sports Radio, who's this?
Sometimes I dream. Hey, man, how y'all doing, man?
Oh, there he is, our guy.
Living the Atlanta life down here. You know, everybody said the Hawks, nothing good would ever happen to us, and we're a curse franchise and all this other stuff. And you know what? You know what? Everything changed today, baby. It's on. I'm talking not four, not five. Like, yo. This is a different way of thinking about the Atlanta Hawks, man. ATL, stand up. Can't believe it. Trey Young, DeJounte Murray. Man, go get your tickets now. Price is going up. Price of the brick going up. Get your tickets now. But Hawks, baby. I'm sorry. I had to get that rant out. What's going on, y'all?
No, all good. All good. I was hoping you would call for that trade today. Unloading some three first-round picks. You had to be ecstatic with what you got for the haul.
Yeah, but, you know, that was fan me, like doing that fan-out thing. Now, realistic me says DeJounte Murray has had some knee issues. The Spurs actually load-managed them last year. And, you know, they still, if it was a game 3 and 4 nights, they would kind of sit him from time to time. So when you go all in with a guy like that and you've given up all the picks, this has to work. If it doesn't, this becomes the most, you know, Atlanta move and typical Atlanta. So, you know, the fan in me wants to celebrate, but the realist in me is like, ooh, this is dangerous.
Go ahead, Brandon.
I was just saying, is there any hesitation as to why you think the Spurs wanted to move him? I mean, obviously you said they moved him. I mean, I told Jonathan earlier, I thought they would keep him as a young piece and kind of build with him, but and then Popovich will go away, but his Pop Swan song is going to be a tank job, it looks like.
Yeah. Well, DeJounte's a little older, so he's kind of not on the same time as the rest of the young pieces they kind of want to build with. I don't think they have anybody who's guaranteed to be on the roster in 2 years. So this is a full rebuild. Now they got the ammo as far as picks. And I really can't knock them for it because the team that they had, I mean, what, the ceiling on that is, what, an 8th seed? Like, I mean, I don't know. I really can't knock the Spurs for this. The offer was too good to pass up. So they basically turned down getting John Collins to take Gallinari for the extra pick. So that lets you know where their mind is. Straight rebuild.
Go ahead, John.
Okay. So what does that look like? So that, I mean, from a talent standpoint, that does improve DeJounte Murray and our end.
Cut. No, I don't know if that's my headphones.
I think we lost Tim for a minute. He'll put it back in here in a second. What other moves are you feeling? Let's go to the Hawks real quick. Hawks ball. What other moves do we feel like with this roster? I mean, get the Hawks back up there into that top 4 seed area. Because you're obviously going to have a not rebuild, but revitalized Milwaukee Bucks. Brooklyn, God, you don't know what you're going to end up getting with Brooklyn this year. Boston will end up being up there. Is there any additional piece you see the Hawks need to put onto this roster to get them back up in that top 4 echelon?
Yeah, see, that's where it gets tough, though, because the Atlanta Hawks traditionally haven't spent money like that. So this move, I think Roland from Hawks on Sports, I think he reported earlier that this put actually them over the tax threshold. So the Hawks are probably more likely to dump salary and get under than they are to take on more. So John Collins and Capella, I think they're just beating the phones up and trying to see what's the best deal for either one of them. But I would expect one or both of them to be gone.
Okay. And yeah, I know you kept trying to unload John Collins up here at Indiana, and we didn't take the bait yet. our general manager just came out, the second one, Chad Buchanan, just came out yesterday and said, we are not actively trading Miles Turner or actively trading Malcolm Brogdon, which makes zero sense, especially with the makeup of this roster currently right now.
True.
So,
unless,
John back.
Young foreign big kind of pans out. What's my man's name for the Pacers?
Which one?
I can't think of his name. The young foreign guy. What's his name? The foreign big.
Goga Batakwe?
Yeah, Batakwe.
Goga?
Yeah. Unless he pans out.
You can wait a long.
Goga won't be playing here. Goga will not be playing here.
Yeah, I know there's some problems defensively, but that dude will offensive rebound. You got to give him that. He might not pass. He might not defend, but he will offensive rebound.
They might send him back down there to Dallas. I can see it happen. I can see it happen.
But yeah, the whole way we got the best piece of the off season so far. I think the Knicks are making a tremendous mistake putting so much into Jalen Brunson. Not that I think Jalen Brunson isn't a good player, but just what you have to overpay for him. I think the Knicks will be in the same situation they were when they were trying to offload Tim Hardaway, where it's just like he's pretty good, but we paid a haul for him, and that just ain't gonna get it.
I really don't understand the Knicks. I kind of understand what they want to do, but like they traded pick out of pick 11, and was it pick? They had two picks in the first round, I do believe. I'm like, and then you just traded back for nothing because you want to potentially go after somebody else's free agent, man. I don't know. It sounds very Dallas Cowboyish, like what Dallas Cowboys used to do back in the 90s. Well, I mean, usually a move like this was like, okay, we bring this guy on to push us over. And he's just there to improve the room, which is fine too. But he's not, if that goes down, I mean, Dallas still could, invest money in him, and then he won't. I mean, the Knicks is going to be looking even terrible because they traded away their two first rounders, and you still need to get better. You know,
yeah.
I don't know. The price tag is just a little bit too much. Like our caller, like Miles said, the price tag is just a little bit too much to do. You moved heaven. You might want to move heaven and earth for a top 10 guy, but, saying no disrespect to his skill set, he's not a top 10 guy.
I'm with you.
Okay.
Well, I know y'all got to roll through the show, man. Just wanted to weigh in real quick, but I apologize for the Chet Holmgren bet if you guys laid money down on that one. Yes, I did.
Oh, yeah. I thought about you when that happened, man. I thought about you when he went number two. I said, oh, well, there goes the Chet Holmgren money.
Right. I was tearing up my digital tickets in my hands. I wish we went back to the 80s where I could have the physical ticket so I could tear it up and make you feel better about losing when you tear up the ticket. But, yeah, man, y'all be cool, man. Good talk with y'all. I'm going to hang back and listen, man.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for calling in.
All right. Great to have him on. I was hoping he was going to call after we talked about the Atlanta trade. I instantly thought of him. I wanted to hear his reaction for us. But you do like that because typically, John, you get the callers. It's more of the fan. You don't think of with the, the GM hat on with injuries and things like that. It's good to hear both perspectives there. That.
Right.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Have you ever turned down $7.3 million?
Never. That's crazy, man. James Harden. Turned down the money, man.
Westbrook goes back to the Lakers. He accepts his option. Harden says, nah, 27 mil. I understand why. Obviously, they want to get more of a cap-friendly deal, and apparently Harden's ready to win a ring. That's the only mantra I think out of that, John, I get, is Harden says, hey, let's get some pieces in here. I guess it's time for me to try to win a ring, and hopefully it's not the Fruit Loops, but it's a real ring. He's going back into Slim Harden mode.
So you think he resigns back with Philadelphia?
do. Yep, I think it's a very, very nice cap-friendly deal for them for maybe a couple, 2 years. When the cap hits big, then he'll cash in on that huge one that nobody will want to pick him up on.
Right, right. I think so, too. Maybe it's a two-year deal where it averages out to like $89 million or something like that. You still, it's guaranteed money. No, somebody's going to look at him like, well, he signed for less money per year, but he, at least the at least the 90s guaranteed. It could potentially be something like that. But I can't see nobody paying him a five-year deal. That's not going to happen.
How many years do you think he's left in the league, realistically?
James Harden, if he commits to a workout regimen where and really trims up and gets back to like what he looked like and what he played like in Oklahoma, and I know, you know what I'm saying, that was far beyond the, you know what I'm saying, but hell, think about it, we're not too far removed from when he was MVP in Houston. So somewhere in between there is where, you know, and a dedication to basketball. Not just, I mean, dedication to basketball happens off the court, too. I mean, if Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, and all the other NBA greats have you know what I'm saying, have kind of told us, Mike, dude, you know what I'm saying, once you're in championship mode, it's not just, you know, October through June. It's a year round thing. So that's what James Harden's gonna have to commit to. I don't know, Brandon. He's kind of long in the tooth, man. You know, they can't go to, what's the old phrase, can't teach your old dog new tricks. But nah, man, that's what it would take for him. You know what I'm saying, a total, you know what I'm saying, just a 180. Work on your body, work on your mind. You know what I'm saying, cut out, you know what I'm saying, the nightlife, and you know what I'm saying, anything else that's gonna, you know what I'm saying, involve you being the best basketball player that you could be.
He, or get the music ready. The Miami Heat are expressing interest in Mo Bamba. So if you want to get the song Bamba ready for South Beach.
Brandon, you laugh at that. And if you look at it, you know, if you look at the Orlando Magic like I look at them, and they're just a daggone glorified G League team, you know what I'm saying? He's done his, what, 5 years or 6 years now, I think, on the G League team. Now it's time for him to step up and, you know what I'm saying, and show improvement, see if he can be a real basketball player. Because if he signs with the Heat, like, there ain't no days off. Like, they're going to expect, you know what I'm saying, all that we expected him when he came out of college, you know what I'm saying, and hell, he had a rap song, not his rap song, but a rap song named after him before he got to the NBA. So he's joining the Heat, man. Dude, watch out. They're going to be more athletic on the front end.
Out of the lake, stuck with Westbrook, because nobody didn't want to trade for that, right, and accept a trade for that type of contract.
What is real money, Brandon? In the NBA, when you see guys going, Zubac got $33 million for like 2 years or 3 years. That's only $10 million, but Zubac, come on, $10 million for that. I guess, man.
Similar to that, Grizzlies are still paying Chandler Parsons' contract.
Are they? I thought that eventually kind of ran out. But yeah. So what is real money, man? So $47 million.
On Twitter about it. I put it on Twitter. I said, is Memphis still paying Chandler Parsons? I had like 15 Grizzly fans reach back out to me regarding it. They're still a little sour.
They're still sour, man. Chandler Parsons was supposed to take that team over, man. And you know what I'm saying, he got there, signed, and, you know, that wasn't the case, man. He got injured, stayed injured, you know. So, man, Russ probably, if Russ doesn't get traded sometime crazily tomorrow during free agency, Russ probably doesn't make it past February during the trade deadline in 2023.
Well, who would take that on, though, John? I mean, that contract, I mean, it's 1 year ago.
By that time, though, Brandon, half the contract is already paid off of. You see what I'm saying? Back in February. If you do it in February, yeah. Half the contract is already kind of paid off for. So, you know, somebody was beginning rust because they need backcourt help. Or, like I said, like you're getting an expiring contract that you don't have to, you know what I'm saying, that you don't have to fulfill. It comes off your books at the end of the year.
Right. With free agency starting here tomorrow night, and we've seen kind of what teams have done, what teams are doing now, what move do the Milwaukee Bucks have to do to get themselves back there to be at Eastern Conference / NBA Finals?
Who did you say? You said the Milwaukee Bucks?
Yes.
Is a healthy Chris Middleton? That would be the first step. I don't know. I can't recall. I don't have it in front of me if Grayson Allen is a free agent or not. But the first rule of business would be, you know what I'm saying, would be getting Chris Middleton 100% back out there. And then you can kind of check the other boxes from there on out. Are they going to go after another free agent to absorb? Probably not, because, you know what I'm saying, they're a middle-road pack kind of team. But a healthy Chris Middleton, they might do some tweaks, you know what I'm saying, in the back, but it won't be anything major. It'll be some vet that's been around, who's, you know what I'm saying, that's been around for a long time, been around with a couple teams that's kind of looking for a championship run that'll get absorbed into that culture. But I don't foresee them moving anybody, you know what I'm saying, major, or bringing anybody major. They just need to get 100% healthy.
Looking at Ish Smith, you know, Ish Smith might be leading the league in number of teams he's played for.
Do we still count that? Is that what were we up to?
Well, Memphis, Orlando, Thunder, Rockets, Wizards, Pistons, Wizards again, came back for the Wizards, and then now he's in Denver now. So, what's your thoughts of that? Denver now, obviously they got Jamal Murray back. Now they're getting Tavius Caldwell-Pope.
Weren't some of those guys that at one point the Pacers kind of wanted, thought about when they became free agents?
Will Barton in existence with Indiana so many years.
Right.
So many years.
Right. Brandon, you know, Denver's probably right there at that max. I don't have everybody's salary cap in front of me. There's a lot of money that they have out they gave Will Barton money, right, during his free agency career. And they gave the other guy during the bubble when he balled out. Or it was after the bubble. He balled out. He balled out in the bubble, and then he balled out when Jamal Murray got injured. He stepped up. You know what I'm saying? Morris did. But this probably suggests that Jamal Murray's back. Is back to ready to kind of just take over things, be, you know what I'm saying, 100% out there and like a backup, a high paid backup is not necessarily what they need right now. We're not, you know what I'm saying, as far as backup point guard, right? Caldwell Pope is a better shooter than Will Barton is, so you have that to kind of look at as far as athletically, defensively. I think Will Barton's probably a little bit better. It's not like you're losing too much with Caldwell Pope either on the defensive end, but he is a better shooter. So it's a space and cost. So Caldwell Pope spaces the floor better than Will Barton, but his contract is a little bit less, I think, than Will's Barton. I think there's more years on Will Barton on Will Barton's deal, right? So it's kind of like I said, Brandon, Denver had to cut, you know what I'm saying, salary. You know, and it's time for, you know, whether if they are even 89%, some of the other guys out there with Jokic, the all-star level talents they have, whether it's Jamal Murray or Porter Jr., like they have to, I mean, if they can play, and I remember like during the tail end part of the year last year that they thought they were going to be able to come back for the playoffs, and it kind of fizzled out or whatever. But I think this kind of suggests that the Denver Brass think that they're going to be heavy rotation players for them coming to the next season.
Yeah, I feel like you have to put a future on the Denver Nuggets to win the NBA title just because Kroenke owns the Rams, they win. Kroenke owns the Avs, they win the Stanley Cup. I mean, I feel like you got to put now on the Nuggets since he owns them as well, right? And I want to ask you your comments on Draymond calling it the Warriors Invitational. He's just coming to be the Warriors Invitational. There's a lot of people that are pissed. He's pissed off a lot of people, apparently, the last week in the media.
Yeah, you know. Between him and Kendrick Perkins, which, you know what I'm saying, kind of, you know what I'm saying, got out of hand on both of their ends. Draymond calling it the Warriors Invitational. Again, dude, y'all just got back into the championship fold. So, and again, like I have to remind everybody, unless Jordan Poole – And Andrew Wiggins are well compensated for their abilities and what they brought to the championships, to the playoff runs. Like, man, this ain't necessarily the Warriors' invitational just yet. I just start liking some of the answers. Some of the things he says are over the top, right? But it's not like we have. It's not like as the NBA fans, we shouldn't. We've seen over the top before. We've seen Dennis Rodman. We've seen, you know what I'm saying, Bill Laimbeer. We've seen over the top and seen over the top comments before. So, you know what I'm saying. I like Draymond in that in this regard that he plays hard. He does a lot of things good. He doesn't do a lot of things great. He rebounds good. He's, you know what I'm saying, he's a good defender. You know what I'm saying, if you depend upon getting at least 10 points, you know what I'm saying, he might be able to get you 10, and he's definitely an excellent passer. So, but like, nah, man, you know, it's you know, to the winners and spoils, man, once you raise the trophy, dude, you know what I'm saying, you get a little cocky. So that's just Draymond being cocky. And, of course, he gets, you know what I'm saying, blasted because of his own personal podcast and his own strong opinions. But like, nah, man, that's just him getting blasted now. If it, now next year, now you are putting more of a bigger target on your back now. And like, I think teams are definitely going to be coming for the Warriors, because, you know what I'm saying, I'm not saying they look beatable or unbeatable in that regard, but like, yeah, teams are going to be coming for you. And like Draymond, you're going to have to back it up, bro.
Yeah, for sure. I heard that, but to me, it's just Draymond being Draymond, and it is what it is. Imani Bates, you leave Memphis and you choose Eastern Michigan back home? Is he already a bust, John?
Yeah. Oh, man. Man, it's not that he's a bust, man. It's just the fact that, you know, the 15-year-old kid that we thought was going to be the next Kevin Durant and was doing these amazing things at one of the AE tournaments here in the Circle City, man, like, it just hasn't necessarily transpired. He's definitely a college level Division I basketball player. Can he play team basketball? He played with some other leagues in Memphis, you know what I'm saying? Memphis is kind of real tight lip about it, you know what I'm saying, about his experience. It's kind of good in this regard, Brandon. They haven't said nothing has been reported. You know what I'm saying, to the masses, that Imani Bates was a malcontent. Well, no, I take that back. There was some pouting, but there was nothing like, you know what I'm saying, we can't get, there was nothing egregious. He was complaining about playing time, you know. Well, when you're playing with other McDonald's All-Americans, you know, it kind of goes through the hot hand. It kind of goes through, you know what I'm saying, who is not necessarily the biggest kid anymore. It's just who's the most skilled. So you kind of have the impression that he doesn't like to be challenged just a little bit. You know, this is kind of why he kind of ran away from, you know what I'm saying, what Penny Hardaway and that coach staff was kind of putting on him, man. So I thought he would automatically get absorbed. I didn't think it'd be this long. And then I didn't necessarily think it would be, again, no shade to Eastern Michigan. They're one of the top programs, you know what I'm saying, in the MAC. But I didn't necessarily think, you know what I'm saying, that he'd end up at a MAC school. So we'll see. What he can do at Eastern Michigan, like I said, it is somewhat surprised. His goal, in his mind's eye, he wants to go to the NBA. So right. he'll get plenty of opportunity to jack up shots and showcase his skills in Eastern Michigan. That's for darn sure. I mean, because he's probably, I mean, I, again, I don't have the roster from. He's probably the lone McDonald's All-American that they have, right? So kudos to him. But like, dude, if you can't get it done in Eastern Michigan, man, you ain't gonna get it done nowhere.
Right. Take a call real quick. D-Cop, what's going on?
What's up, fellas? Hey, I just chimed in. And, I'll let you guys talk about Monty Bates. Here's your take on him, right? So in Memphis, he had those issues that the five-star guys have, right, that ego deal. Well, he's from that area in Michigan, man. So this isn't some big swing that I think is out there. I think the guy either going to be a player and show he's a player, or he's going to be Felipe Lopez. It's one or the other. It won't be anything in between. Either he's that guy or he's not. But I don't think it's a big hit on him to go back home at all. I really don't, man. Because Memphis, if you've ever been to Memphis, is not, yeah, I understand the conference they're in, but Memphis isn't the name it used to be when the Keith Lees of the world were there. And hell, even when Calipari was there. They're not the same. I understand Penny Hardaway is there. However, he's kind of taken a big dip over the last couple of years. So I don't think it's a big hit on Imani Bates at all. I wish him well. And I think if he's a player, we'll see his first year or what he's made of. So that's my take on Amani Bates. I had a conversation in one of my sports chats about him earlier today. That's why it was interesting that you all are talking about it. So are people giving him a lot of hell for going back home, or where we stand on that?
No, I think it's the fact that, you know, the guy first committed to Michigan State, and then he pulled that, and then he went to Memphis, and there were issues there, and he got injured, only played half the game. Yeah, maybe he wanted to go back home. Maybe it's a little bit easier for him. I also just think maybe he can get some bad advice in here.
Yeah, well, very possible, you know, but his father's going to be even a bigger deal with him over there at that school now, because obviously his dad has ties there. So that could have been why he chose that particular school, right? So it's going to be interesting to see. But I hope the young man, well, I mean, he's 19 years old, man. Think about the mistakes and challenges we made when we were 19. So I think he'll be okay. But enough about a kid that won't be paying for Pacers. Let's talk Pacers basketball. Let's talk about what we're John, what's his name, for Atlanta. And also let's talk about our opportunity for my big man in Phoenix, DeAndre Ayton, on a trade potentially with Miles Turner or some combination of that. I still say we got moves to make. And Brogdon, hopefully his bags are still packed.
Okay. John?
That Brogdon move, his bags got to be packed, man. They just got to figure out a deal. They've got to figure out a deal where they don't get taken advantage of. Malcolm Brogdon, when he plays, I'm going to say elite. You know what I'm saying? He can score the ball. He can pass the ball. You know, defense is optional, but, you know, it's damn near a defense optional league, right? But offensively, he can play both guard positions and play him very well. That being said, we do know his attitude about playing hurt or a little bum, boo boo, knee, whatever the case may be. You know, he's going to sit down. So they're probably just looking and make sure that they don't get bent over, for lack of a better term.
Right, right. But we'll see what happens there. And then my last take is on the Bradley Beal deal, man. There's no way Bradley Beal is an impact player in year 3, 4, and 5 of a 5-year max deal. The guy is a very good player. He's only been a very good player, in my opinion, in his career. And someone said Washington has to pay him. Washington better than fourth place in the East in the last 26 years. Why do they have to pay him? He's not a difference-making player. He's a nice piece. But that team is
right.
Full of good to decent players, and that's it. So I think it's a huge mistake, Washington Wizards, paying him a 5-year, $248 million deal. I just think the return on the investment is going to be John Wall-esque. Remember that. That's the same team that did the John Wall deal. Let's not let that be forgotten on this whole take.
Right, right. Right. I really don't have a pulse on what Bradley Beal's going to do. He could be the leader of that. He could get maxed out $140 million over 4 seasons or something like that, and he's going to be the leader of that. He's going to be looked upon as leader and the franchise. You know, in the face of that franchise. But like, dude, like you bring up a good point, because he's been that, and they still come up 11th or 12th in the East. So what do you do? Do you really want to invest that much, or do you just trade off? At some point, I think he – go ahead.
No, I was going to say, what I think they're going to do is sign him so they can say, look, we signed our best player. That doesn't mean anything to today's guys. These guys are well-versed on what's going on. And they looked at Washington. They see what Washington is. And they see that they aren't an impact or a threat in the East or even in their division. So them signing him and say, hey, listen, look what we did. But no one's impressed with what you did, because there's not a destination, and you're mired in mediocrity anyway. So I just think,
right.
I think I'm not saying, oh, get him out of Washington and let him go somewhere and win a championship. No, I'm not saying that at all. He's just a good player. He's a very good player. But he's he's not as good as he was 3 years ago, and he's on the decline from an impact standpoint. I'm talking about from an impact. So I just think it'd be a huge mistake. I'll let you package something with it, and you put two or three very, very good guys around him. But other than that, Washington's going to be, 41-41 next year, and we'll see what happens.
Okay.
I didn't want to take up a bunch of you guys' time, but
no,
that's not on the rally deal.
What else you got?
I know you're
chomping at the bit. We got SEC football. What?
No, man. No, I'm not chomping at the bit right now. This is June, man. There's some stuff going on behind the scenes from a recruiting standpoint that's going on in the SEC. A lot of guys are. I mean, money's being tossed around, and Texas coming there with Eli Arch Manning being the guy. Going to Texas. I know everybody's hyped up about him being the top overall player in the 2023 class.
Yep.
That's fine.
Yep.
He's not the best quarterback in that class. He's not.
Uh-oh.
And so he's not. The kid from Tennessee, and I can't think of his name, he just signed a $9 million deal for NIL. Him,
that's
and
great.
I'm not going to say the school because I don't want Brandon to do the do-do-do-do. That guy that plays for that school in the middle of this wonderful state next to Mississippi, the quarterback there for 2011 tape, and look at the talk of the 11-on-11. He's heading the charts there. The kid from Tennessee left because he didn't have anything to prove. He left right after he signed that deal, by the way, just so you guys know that. So Arch Manning is going to be a very good player, I think. Very good player. He's just not the best quarterback in 2023. He's not.
I gotta ask both of you why I got y'all on. Cause you both of y'all are higher on Bronny James than I am. You really think Bronny James is gonna get drafted?
I don't know.
No, he'll get drafted because of his name. His name. I think his name.
Yeah, he's
got
drafted.
That guy,
I think he will be.
Yeah, that's all.
Second.
That's it.
No way.
I think that's where it stops. I think it stops where he'll get drafted. He'll be a G League guy. You know who he'll remind you of? He'll remind you of Dominique Wilkins' nephew.
Harold Wilkins?
State. Yeah, well, because he had a couple TNNBA. Listen, he had a couple TNNBA a couple different times, but that was because of his name.
He played for the Pacers,
have you
too.
I know. I know for like a half a season. For a half a season, I remember.
Yeah.
Believe me, I remember. But what I'm saying is he'll be like that. He's not a guy, but he'll get that opportunity over opportunity because of his last name is what I'm saying.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
I got kind of like Horace Grant's going to get a good opportunity.
Yeah, potentially. But I just the Wilkins kid reminds me because I remember reading a book or an article about Dominique and Gerald taking him to different teams and having him work out for different teams and then being there. Think about this. Dominique and Gerald Wilkins are there to help me out. Come on, man. It's hard to say, well, we won't give him a little bit of a chance. And that's what I'm thinking with the Bronny James thing. Nothing more, nothing less. That's what I really believe.
Go ahead, Brandon.
Is there any truth to the rumors that the Colts are going to start their suck campaign for Arch Manning?
Are you going to ask me a good – Brandon, no, wait. Brandon, you're going to disrespect me and ask me a Colts question? That sucker's not on the call, man. I'm not that dude. I'm sure he's waiting or something or going to call. I don't talk that team downtown. I don't talk about them other than bad things. Who cares? They're going to mismanage him anyway because that's what they do, to their, especially with their quarterback.
John, you got to stay there.
Listen, 5 and 5 years. 5 and 5 years, Johnson. Come on.
First off, the NFL is a win today league, not a win tomorrow league. So they better not be sucking for anybody. If Cooper Manning, Arch Manning somehow falls to them in two or three seasons, because there's no way he's saying. So we basically saying he's going to stay 3 seasons, right?
You know that kid? Listen, let me tell you, it just hit me. You know the kid that left Ohio State is there, right? He was the number one guy 2 years ago.
He ran away from
greatness. Listen, you heard it here. Here's the thing. He can't go again without sitting out a year, though. He can't leave again without sending out a – yeah. So I'm telling you now, huge mistake on his part going to Texas. And I'm going to tell you, I don't know that Arch Manning is better than him and that Arch Manning is better than him. I just don't, man.
That's going to mess up a lot of money. That's going to mess up a lot of NIL money for somebody.
Yeah, I'll be watching because it's SEC football, but I'm interested because you got the best offensive mind in the SEC in Texas. So I really believe he's going to put the best guy out there. But you got to understand, when Peyton Manning and Cooper and Grandpa and Eli walk in there, there's a lot of pressure. The difference is, though, man.
Well, that's why technically that's why he didn't go to SEC school. They're going to the SEC, and I guess during his time there, at some point they will shift. I think Texas and Oklahoma are scheduled to go over in 2024. It's either 2024 or 2025. But yeah, so they're scheduled to go over, and join the SEC. He'll be there, right? Because like I said, he's not leaving after three seasons or so. And the real kind of question, though, D-Cod, will Texas be able to, pull their program up to the level of the top flight SEC schools when they get shifted over? I know you don't care. I'm just saying.
No. I believe the answer is yes. I'm going to tell you why. Because money talks and BS walks. Texas has the most money and a much bigger cachet than A&M. People talk about
the
A&M money.
You say Alabama, they're not going to out-recruit Alabama.
I don't use that seven-letter word because I don't want Brandon mocking me, okay? I'm not using that word. I see you, Brandon. I see you. Texas has the cachet that A&M doesn't. They got very similar money, but I think Texas is going to overtake A&M. And I think, listen, this is Jimbo's fifth year. And just as they said on the Paul Feinbaum show today, hey, man, this is the year. This they said this is the last 5 years.
They said that about Georgia too, and Georgia finally broke on through the other side. Winning the SEC is going to be real hard. You got to understand LSU is going to take a step up. Brian Kelly didn't come there. I know you don't have no love for Brian Kelly, but Brian Kelly didn't come there to lose. What they did, they blew it up in Florida again. They got a new coach staff there. I'm not saying that guy is ready to take on look at Nick Saban dead in the eye or even Sarkisian when Texas comes over. But again, those are the top teams that are still going to be chomping at the bit. And I'm saying playing for number two because the top two. It seems like, as much as I hate, I'm not going to say hate, as much as my fan hate is for the SEC, the money, the championships flow through Alabama and LSU. I get Georgia won, but, me and Brandon have been doing this show for a while, and we was like, man, Georgia never. I'm not betting on Georgia. You know what I mean? But, championships
kind of flow. Because of the history, right?
Yeah.
But once you break through, think about what New England did, remember? So when they won their first title against the Rams. Now, they had been in previous Super Bowls, right? You remember, right? And they got thumped.
Right.
So now when you break through, then all of a sudden now you say, goodness gracious, what does Georgia have? And Georgia is loaded coming back. They're not the Georgia of last year, and they won't have the defense, right? And I'm telling you, they still got to find a quarterback. They can say what they want. They still got to find a quarterback. They don't have a championship quarterback, and they definitely don't have a championship defense right now. So, now mind you, they can get better as the season goes, and we all know that, right? But right now, from a SEC standpoint, it's still it's still Georgia and that team next to Mississippi. But I believe, though, that team next to Mississippi has a little bit of an edge because they've got the quarterback, and they've got the best defensive player in the SEC. That's why I think your edge is right there.
Okay, both of you put your think caps on. So wouldn't it behoove Texas? I trust Oklahoma a little bit better. Wouldn't it behoove them that they need to win the Big 12 championship in order to help them with recruiting once they move over. Is that a dumb statement? They need to go in with.
They leave, and it is for Oklahoma to win the Big 12 before they leave.
I don't know, man. That with NIL money, I think it's a different dynamic. I understand the recruiting, and that team next to Mississippi got two nice recruits today. But I just don't know that the recruiting is the same impact as it was 2 years ago, because money talks, and that team next to Mississippi doesn't have the money that Texas A&M.
Well, money, right, they got money talks, but also, you know what I'm saying, when Nick Saban says, yo, and he does, they all do it now. They remember a couple years ago, we all used to laugh at Calipari. I did, when he said, oh, I didn't win that championship, but I got six of my guys in the NBA draft. Right?
Yeah.
Well, Alabama, I can say Alabama without getting, you know what I'm saying, without mocks, right?
But you know what's coming.
Alabama does the same thing. Oh, we got X amount of players, you know what I'm saying, or you know what I mean, and then Georgia did it too, you know? So,
right.
Like, you're right.
Especially
this year. Getting the right players, getting the best players right, NIL money, passing out around is one thing, but they also – I would say it's a little bit different. Not different, I'm saying it's the same. Developmental, like, where can you – does playing for Alabama get me – or Georgia, too. I'm going to be fair. Not just got to keep on – because Paul Feinbaum does enough of Alabama kissing ass.
Don't forget LSU.
But,
too.
Yeah, but those teams, those teams got players, like, littered all throughout the league at important positions. You know what I mean? So – I think that also kind of plays the. I mean, money does talk. Like, the longest money.
But but Jonathan, I think it plays a part, absolutely. But we haven't seen the impact or the domino effect of what NIL will have on recruiting yet. Remind you, this is year two, so I still think we got some time to see what really is going to happen with regard to NIL, how it correlates with recruiting. Especially if they make those changes they talked about, right?
Okay.
If they make
those
changes, it's going to be interesting. But I look forward to it, man. It's going to be crazy because obviously they call it the Wild Wild West, right? I think there's a little bit of the Wild Wild West going on.
Deke, I'm supposed to ask you a question.
Oh, here we go.
And I need to get a truthful answer out of you on this.
Always. You can always do it.
Can the Alabama Crimson Tide team that we have constructed right now, can they go out there and beat the Colts?
No, man. There's no college football team that can beat any NFL team, period. So when those fuckers and those fools say that, I laugh wholeheartedly. Because think about this. You got three-quarters of that college team that won't even play in the NBA, in the NFL. Think about it. Three-quarters of them won't play because you're talking about 95 players. So even on their best year, 15 are going to go to the league. Come on, man. There's no chance.
Okay.
There's no chance. But you hear these guys say it all the time, and it baffles me, man, because they watch ESPN. They watch these talk shows, the shows where they say, well, one guy takes one side, one guy takes another side. They don't know. They don't pay attention. They just look at the show. So, yeah, big picture-wise, no, not even a chance. It wouldn't be close.
Nope.
Easily 30-point win, probably 40-point win, easily.
All right.
Now,
anything else?
If you took a all-star college team, and you took all the top players of the position in college, now you're only talking about four touchdowns. I just don't believe it's 10.
You think even Buffalo? I'm picking on Buffalo.
I know, right? No, Buffalo. Hey, they got the business, man. But no, man. Listen, we got to watch these Pacers. You got to keep posting about the Pacers stuff, man. Because I just got a feeling within the next 7 to 10 days, there's going to be some real big things happening with regard to Malcolm. I think both TJs need to go away, by the way. I think I'm okay with both TJs going. I'm okay with Malcolm going. And if we can get DeAndre Ayton and Turner's gone, I'm good with that too, by the way. I'm very good with that. And, oh, by the way, last thing, I love the rookie's comment about Bron has to prove to him that he's the great player.
I knew you would. And I'm gonna tell you why.
It's simply, if you go into the league thinking that somebody else is better than you, you've already lost. And Bron and his old Bron keeps talking about clout chasing. What is he doing on those videos with his shirt off doing workouts? Isn't that clout chasing too?
I ain't clout chasing. That's getting ready for season 19 or whatever it is.
Okay. So why do you got to show it then? Why do you have to show it then? It's the same thing, man. He's talking.
So
when he falls on the ground, when a 5'11 guy puts his elbow on him, what does that mean? Is he still going?
He's not talented.
I'm not drinking that Kool-Aid,
saying,
man. LeBron
is saying he's ready. You've seen the jumpers.
Did you see the misses? Did you see the misses? Neither did I. They edited those out.
They didn't record that.
I love my Pacers, but you think LeBron's spending time worried about what this damn rookie said? He spoke to it.
Listen, let me tell you something, Brandon. And this is a great cot point here. If I'm not worried about it, you don't hear me talk about it. If I don't have a say, then you don't hear me talk about it. You don't hear me come here talking about golf, tennis.
I guarantee you LeBron plays him.
You know who else
the
called out LeBron back in the day?
Who?
Who did?
God, you called Yellowtail and turned his back on this organization, Paul George. I mean, he just did the same thing.
You know I'm not a Paul George fan, right? You talked to the wrong guy. I wanted him gone 2 years in before he left. I was at the game when they played Atlanta when he quit on the face.
Brandon, he doesn't like Frank Vogel. I love Darren Collison. I like Brad Miller, though he's a Purdue guy. But listen,
let's put him on the 12th man on the bench. Let's put him down there by the water.
Lord have mercy. I promise you this. Whoever the 12th man is for the Pacers this upcoming season, Lance is better. That's all I'm saying.
He's still getting real minutes.
I don't know.
He's better.
Before you called in, man, I hope Lance Stephenson finds a place where he can play and be, I'm going to call him tomorrow.
I'll let you guys know. I'm going to see if I can get him on the phone.
All right, let us know.
Get him on the show.
Let us know.
But I'm going to tell you this. We'll go back to the PG thing, man. Listen, 2 years prior to him leaving, me and you know who would argue in the stand about him quitting on the Pacers. Well before he left. On what website?
What website? Crossroads Sports.
You cut out on me. Listen. I'm at an undisclosed location. I'm in a building right now. I think the security is cameras watching me, and it's something about a horse. Some horse is running around in circles where I'm looking at right now. But that's another story.
My God.
But my point being is this: love the show, fellas. I'm gonna listen as long as I can until I get my service out. Right. But again, try to get you know who on the line. And ask him what I think about your boy PG. Never been a fan.
Absolutely.
Never.
Absolutely. Thanks, D. Kyle.
You guys be safe. Hey, Jonathan, I'll be messaging you on some stuff. You and Brandon both. Just hang tight for another hour or so.
Okay.
All right, that's D. Kyle. Hey, John, man, this dude, does he like a Pacer besides Lance Stephenson? He might be a Lance Stephenson worker.
He's finally turned on Miles Turner.
He has finally turned on him.
He turned on Miles Turner.
By the way, while we're doing this, Los Angeles Lakers and Miami Heat are expected to be suitors for Blake Griffin. So Blake Griffin experiment is going on again.
Oh, my God.
I need to get kicked out of it.
I saw Blake Griffin at the Venice Beach. Like they got this little pickup basketball league, you know what I'm saying, Venice Beach with the hoop bus. I seen Blake Griffin on the hoop bus, man. Again, a lot of athletic ability that they demonstrate on that, you know what I'm saying? But, like, if you hoop with the hoop bus, man, your NBA career is done. You know what I'm saying? Your NBA career is done. I don't – Blake Griffin gets him to Clippers. Getting back to the Clippers.
All right. He's well, you speak King of Trolls. Don't talk about that much anymore. What's up, Red?
You know what? I was going to lose my name, King of Trolls, today. I was going to be cordial to that dummy. I was going to tell you that I wasn't going to call him a dummy no more. I wasn't going to call him a stupid A no more. I wasn't going to call him lying to the facts of life. I wasn't going to call him a loser at the
casino
Shelbyville, which he's talking about. I wasn't going to call him none of those names. But he's making the King of Trolls come back full force. First of all, some of the takes y'all said, you said Alabama and what was the other team you said run the SEC? Or run the championship?
What you talking about? Alabama
college football.
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, man.
Run shit. LSU
Red,
don't run
I'm
nothing.
Sorry. They got
LSU.
Hey, Red,
hold on, sir. Hold on, sir. When was the last time LSU was, first of all, they're about to get sanctioned a lot because of the things that's
been
going on.
When was the last time?
Secondly, Jim Kelly is
when
not
Joe Burrow was there.
Jack.
Did you forget about that? I forgot about Joe Burrow.
How long ago was that? That was 3 years ago. You done forgot about
okay.
the other team in the ACC that was winning championships. You done forgot about them guys. In the ACC.
Alabama.
I'm
saying Alabama runs.
Alabama don't run Jack. They don't run it. Alabama's just mad because everybody can spend money now when they've been spending money up under the table for years. The reason D.
You
say
Alabama's been
giving,
I don't believe that. I don't believe that.
Man, they've been buying 5.0s for years, 5.0 Camaros and SUV trucks for years. Their alumni has been doing it for years. That's why Nick Saban got mad at the coach of Texas. That's why the coach of Texas said, hey, I ain't answering your phone call because I know what you've been doing. You've been doing
Red,
it for years, and now that I'm doing legally, you're mad.
Red,
you're mad.
Red, I got to reel you in. So looking at, I want to look. We already spent the time about the SEC on the last segment, man. It's okay. We're going to agree to disagree. Looking at the wider scope of college football, where money coming in? They say money coming in. Everybody's equal. We got our elites against your elites. Ain't this technically the
same? Everybody's not equal. Because smaller schools can't spend that amount of money.
I'm talking about, okay, we putting all our cards on the table, all right? We know Alabama is going to be there. Because they got too much returning back. But a team like Clemson, down year, they'll be back this year, I guarantee you. They'll be back this year.
I agree.
And then out west, you got USC. They're going to be back this year. Look at that schedule. Look at that schedule. Brandon, look at that schedule. Pull it up. I know you got it in front of you. Look at USC's schedule. I like they play Notre Dame.
Hey,
I like they play Notre Dame. That's going to give them a little push.
You won't see West Pacific Mountain West team.
I don't know.
A championship. Who was the last one to win one? Oregon?
Brandon.
How many years ago was that?
Reggie, remember the Big 12? The Big 12 is gonna still be around, but they're about to write them out. The Big 12 is not seeing no chance. The Big 12 would have to go undefeated in their preseason and in their championship game in order to get to the Final Four contest.
I agree about the Big 12. The Big 12, when Texas and Oklahoma leave, I agree. Oklahoma
is still
gonna
be here.
The program that it once was. Texas is gonna up and coming because. Top
no
talent
way.
Wants to play with top talents because I call it the James effect. So Archie Manning is going to draw top talent to Texas and the Dallas.
Don't you start wearing no Longhorn gear. Don't you start wearing no Longhorn gear.
I'm Notre Dame all the way, man. I'm Notre Dame all the way. I don't change my allegiance. I'm not D-cop. I didn't go from liking Notre Dame to liking Alabama. And they're talking about we got all these championships and he only been there for one. I didn't do that. I stayed with Alabama. I know he was upset because Ty got fired, and I was too. And then they played that other guy, all that money, and he was gone. They just not finished paying him off. But I'm back with Notre Dame. I ain't never left Notre Dame. Let's remember this. I love, in all sports, I love Southern University first.
I know this.
And then I love all the Indiana schools after that.
Amen.
But Notre
Amen.
Dame is right after, Notre Dame football is right after Southern University football.
But, Red,
and that's just
so
my
next
league.
Year Notre Dame, this is what I got. Next year Notre Dame, it's going to be good. We got this coach, right? He's one of the people,
yes.
right?
Yes.
But But they got there's gonna be too much regression. It's gonna be too much regression.
Notre Dame is gonna be okay. I'm not saying he's gonna come out and win a championship next year, but give him 3 years. I think he's gonna be knocking on the door. And another thing that y'all were talking about, hold on, let's go, because I know y'all getting up there. I know y'all getting up the air at 8 o'clock, so I got a few points I want to get in. How is he gonna talk about Turner leaving when your team doesn't have no defense? That's why Turner has to play like he plays.
He talking about
how is he
gonna
talk about turning? Man, Andre ain't nothing but that left shift. He can't guard nobody out there on the three.
Damn.
Okay, Turner.
Why you
offering
on Devlin Trim,
big
man? He didn't do nothing to you.
Andre
Ayton
can't guard nobody on the 3-point line.
Devlin Trim's legacy, Pacer legacy.
I'm talking about Andrew Ayton. He cannot guard nobody on the 3-point line. That's why Phoenix is looking to move him. Wasn't he a number one draft pick?
He's had some games. He's had some games, man, where he outplayed Carl Anthony Towns.
He got exposed in the Dallas game. Unless you have somebody else that can come in off the bench, you know, late in the game when you're going defense for offense, unless you can get him out of that game on the defense when them 3-point shooters are hot, you're in trouble. That's why Dallas beat them, because they put him in a pick and roll every time. The same way that Boston tried to do Steph Curry, but they forgot about it. I would have put Steph Curry in a pick and roll every time down the court. If it was 100 possessions, Steph Curry would have been in a pick and roll 100 times. And that's what
I said. Oh, my God.
So I agree with him on Malcolm. I agree with the dummy on Malcolm Brogdon, because I like Malcolm Brogdon off the ball. But what's going to happen, I heard this on an earlier sports show, and I don't remember which one, so I'm not going to take credit for it, unlike the dummy. Malcolm Brogdon is going to take playing time away from one of the other young fellas. Now,
so you
I
think
would
he
like
plays?
To bring
I think he's gone. You say he's going to play?
No. I don't know if he's gone or not, but I don't think they're going to give him away for popcorn. I don't think they're going to give him away for popcorn.
Reggie, that's what I said. They're not going to give him away for free. Absolutely not.
But he needs to go because he's going to, you know, some of these young guys got to get out here. I'm kind of interested to see how basketball in Vegas is going to go. Next, I agree with the dummy.
It's coming.
I like T.J. McConnell. I don't know what T.J. Warren's situation is going to be. But if you can trade him and get some, you know, some picks or something, I'll take that. But my key is
T.J. McConnell's
gone, but the free agent position, I mean, Detroit did make some great moves to shore up some stuff, and some other teams made some good moves. But we need to promise Smith something to keep him here. We absolutely need to promise Smith something to keep him here. Smith.
Promise
the guy from Phoenix.
Jalen Smith.
Hey. Yeah.
Man, no way. We got better. He's gone, man. He will not be with us.
I'm saying that we need to negotiate with him and try to keep him. We need to try to keep him. We probably won't. We probably don't have enough money. And then the forward position right now is weak this year. The only reason he didn't is getting new good in Phoenix was because they didn't give him a chance. They didn't give him a chance. In the 22-game audition for the Pacers, he proved to me that he's an NBA player.
What was that? 23 wins. I mean, is he a answer to the troubled equation the Pacers had? Hell yeah, he's gonna do well on a 23-24 game when he's playing with other scrubs on the Pacers. The Pacers were trying to tank.
I think he's a good player. I think he can be a better player. Okay. I like his 3-point shooting. I like his defense. I think that he's a player. He is a player. You can let T.J. Warren go ahead and go and keep him. You can keep him and let T.J. Warren go. But I really think when this core group gets together and gets running, the players, I think, you know, everybody's saying they're going to suck next year. I really do think that they will get to the play-in game. I really think these young guys are hungry. And I really think that they're going to play the right way, and I think they like each other.
Man, you
I like
they
the kind of
young. Reds, they real young though.
I said the play-in game.
They gonna be like, damn though. If everything was like the Pacers made these moves and then nobody else made those moves that they made, because there's gonna be some moves made. You just said Detroit's looking better.
Yeah. Yeah, but there's not much out there. Who's out there going to be a free agent that you want?
Man,
you
want
a boy from Portland by way of Utah? All the good ones are gone.
Well, man, I don't know. Nobody.
Yeah. Blake Griffin and Westbrook. You know, that's another thing that made me mad. These dumb Lakers fans want to talk about. We'll give y'all Westbrook and y'all give us your whole team.
Rock Victor Oladipo and Schroeder go to teams, and then people are gonna be like, "Oh, okay, they gonna cause a
Victor's
buzz." I'm not saying like a buzz. Kevin Durant went to say what now?
Victor's best years are behind him. I like Victor when
okay.
he's here.
So you don't.
I'm a little upset he didn't sign, but he did us a favor by not signing that $200 million contract. He did
it. It was 120. Don't let the face.
Well, 120. Well, I don't remember the number, but he did us a favor by not re-signing here.
I bet he still gets twenty million dollars a year. I bet he still gets twenty million dollars.
We'll see. I think he's gonna float around like the little German
guy
that has a little gold in his hair. I think he's gonna stroll around like that. And let me tell you this too. The dummy geek.
But you think they just going to settle for $6 million?
He wants Lance Stevens to come back over this young talent? I mean, this cop don't know sports, man. The only thing he knows is the cheerful teams that are already winning. He cheers for the Yankees. He cheers for the Tide. I'm glad he don't cheer for my coach no more because he's talking crazy. And I don't think no team is gonna take for him. But he cheers for
He was a Patriots fan, right? Or a Rams fan now?
Man, I don't know who. He's a bandwagon fan. He trolls everybody or tries to be me. He wants to be me. He comes up with all these different dumb takes. And now you see his name that changed from Deacock the Vegan to Deacock, what's the word for fish, Presbyterian eater now? Man, Deacock eat more meat than a lion. He's always on. He'll lick the grill after he takes the steak off, and the grill is still 100 degrees. He is a meat eater. I said it. I ain't scared of him.
Oh, my goodness.
I love the fact that Reggie and Jonathan have been going at it. Reggie, I love it. We on the same side tonight. You going at it with Jonathan. I love it.
Jonathan doesn't agree with some of the dumb takes. I think Jonathan needs to eat a Snicker bar because he didn't agree with a lot of stuff that these packers said. I'm about to start doing Jonathan like you do Dan Dakarish or whatever his name is. I'm about to start doing Jonathan like that or something, you know? I don't know.
Yeah, I heard my name being called today. I didn't even pay attention.
In Three Foolish Men, I put you right in that category.
Yeah, I heard my name called like 3 times today, man. I didn't even.
He called you today? He called you out today?
He called out. He called me out today. It's all good.
All right, fellas, I'll let y'all go. I know y'all about to close up. I'll call in earlier next week.
Reg, what's up with that golf game? Oh, this shenanigans.
What happened yesterday? Tell me.
I won a skin.
I'll be back in 2 weeks. Really.
All right, fellas. Later.
All right, Reg. Take care.
Man, John. Reggie Sykes, King of Troll, D-Cot.
People fired up, man.
Well, he's had a hell of a show tonight. Nas is the most chill of them all. And I feel like he's got the most information.
Usually you don't hear that a whole lot. You're right. Usually you don't hear that kind of like trade stuff happening in Atlanta. But like Atlanta has been aggressive the last couple of seasons and improving their chances to get to a championship game. They ain't going to play no defense, never. But they're all offensive kind of like team. It was good. It's good to match it up with Nas. Yeah, connect with him.
Yeah, absolutely. Right.
Well, Brandon, what else you got? We got any more callers?
I'm looking. That's all I have that's showing on here right now. Things acting weird.
Okay,
so.
I haven't heard from Sweet Lou in a long time. I thought maybe he might be holding. We were supposed to, anybody listening to right now, we're supposed to have a special guest interview tonight with Pro Bowler Kevin Williams. I haven't heard back. I'm just being totally transparent in the middle of the show, Brandon. I haven't heard back from him, so we might have to reschedule, or we probably got we potentially got our wires crossed since we are on Eastern Standard Time, and you know what I'm saying, his, where he's at, he might not be necessarily be on Eastern Standard Time, so we'll figure that out. If we, you know what I'm saying, we'll figure that out if we have to do the interview at some other time.
Perfect. John, let's wrap us, my man.
Well, man, dude, again, on fire show, basically a lot about NBA free agency and NBA draft. We did touch a lot of college football for a June show. Can you believe that? Uh-oh, got a phone call.
Go ahead.
But like, no, man, we had a pretty good show. We'll be back bigger, better than ever next week. Thanks for all the calls for calling in. Thanks for all the folks on the Facebook Live that chimed in and commented. Thanks to our sponsors, Scott K. Nichols State Farm Insurance. Thanks to our other sponsors, Mavericks Custom Motorsport, and our other sponsor, Washington Logistics. How can we do our show without their help? Do yourself a favor. Follow our sponsors. See what they might have, you know, saying in store for you as far as services and whatnot. Check them out. I guarantee you they got some fair pricing on anything, whether it's car insurance or building, you know, saying more speakers on your boat or your motorcycle or whatnot. Like I said, or you want to use a shipping service. Other than that, Brandon, dude, like I said, dude, I thought our guy was going to come through us for tonight. So we'll have to reschedule some other time. Until then, man, thanks everybody for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads Sports content.